Okay, now these calls are recorded. So these calls are recorded for future participants in the My Fun Purpose program and or my one-on-one clients. So outside of that, though, nobody else hears these calls. Everything we talk about is between us, and there's a level of safety with that where I just ask that you all please keep what is shared confidential or use different names if you, you know, really feel like sharing something with your friend or your therapist or whoever. But I want this to be, and this is a safe space for all of us to come together and open up about this kind of stuff. So I wanted to just plant that reminder. I know I've said that a few other times at the beginning of the call, but this one in particular, because we are going to be doing more sharing than we may normally do. I'm still going to do... Actually, I'll just start out. So I think there's a couple of new people on tonight's, or I know there's a couple of new people on tonight's call. So welcome. Super excited about that. And I'm going to do just a quick overview of the format of tonight's call so that everybody knows where we are headed. So we will start out with introductions. And what that means is if you feel comfortable, introduce yourself, your name, where you're at right now, and something that you're grateful for or something that went well for you this week, a high note, something that you're, you know, smiling about or made you smile. And so we'll go around Robin like that, introducing ourselves, and then I'll go ahead and open the floor to any shares based on previous modules, based on any of the themes that we've been talking about, diving into, any progress, right? So these can be like, Fawn, I'm super stuck here, or I don't understand this concept, or guess what? I kick ass at this thing. It's all welcome, right? This is all, it's a journey that is full of all sorts of different manifestations of the progress. So we'll open it up to shares, and we'll do a little bit of hot seat coaching if anybody would like some feedback or some, you know, some attention on anything. And then we'll go ahead and do a quick review of the first portion of module 3, which is about watching your thoughts. And then we're going to segue into doing an overview, brief overview of 3.2, which is the portion of the module that I just uploaded the other day. So we're going to be talking about extending what we've been learning about watching our thoughts and how our thoughts are not who we are. And we're going to take that to the next level where we're going to be digging into gremlins and what I call allies. And we're going to be basically excavating what is going on in our lives that's giving us the results that we are getting, good or bad. So we're going to cover all of that. And then sprinkled throughout that, we're going to be doing some shares. One of the things that I've learned in being in group for many years in different capacities, different workshops and trainings and things like that, is that it feels really great to share some stretchy stuff when I know that other people in the space are also kind of going through the same stretchy stuff. So we're going to be, you know, like, oh, like here's one of my gremlins, or here's something I've struggled with. And I just invite everybody to be honest and vulnerable if it does resonate with them, or maybe if they've been through it, or if they can relate, or if they have some feedback. Feel free to come together and communicate about that, because this is, it's what it's all about. And there really is this, I don't know, being in a group creates a bigger experience than one-on-one or two-on-one or just by ourselves. So we'll be doing some sharing, and then we'll see how it goes. Usually I go overtime, so I'm going to be mindful of that tonight as well. But yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun not taking ourselves seriously. We're going to have fun extracting the gremlins out of our minds, putting them on the table, and, like, you know, seeing what we can do with it. So, all right. Does anybody have any questions before I get started or before we go into introductions? Questions at all? Okay. If you do have a question, feel free to just raise your hand at any point. Or if you're on the phone, I believe it is *9 or *6 to unmute yourself, but you're on a smartphone, so it's *9 to raise your hand or just unmute yourself and ask it. And I see that an 818 just joined. I do see your number. We're about to do introductions, so I'm happy to have you here. Okay. So, introductions. I am your very grateful host, Fawn. And I am still in Jalapa, Mexico. For those of you who have been on the calls for a while, yep, I'm still here. Month, going on month 4.5 or 5, I think. I love it. And I am really grateful for a conversation that I had last week with a person who I'm very, very close with and I love very, very much. We had gotten into a heated argument, disagreement, and then it just kind of like supernovaed. And I was able to, I think maybe for the first time, I was able to like 100% accountably, humbly remove my ego from the scenario and choose love over being right, or choose love over my ego, and really check in with my intention of being operating from a place of love in my life. When my ego was like trying to kick the door down and scream like, ah, well, that person's wrong and you're right. Like there was all that still going on inside me, but I was able to find this place of prioritizing, like choosing love over everything else. And I offered that to the other person in terms of the conflict resolution. Would they be willing to come to the table and create a solution from a place of connection and understanding versus right and wrong? And the other person was open to it. And we had one of the most connective conversations we've ever had. And I learned a lot about them. And our ability to get super vulnerable and share ourselves like that brought us a lot closer. So that was, you know, typically I'd be, I think the old me would be like, ah, like fighting is shitty or like conflict sucks. But this actually showed me a lot of what I've been studying, which is that conflict actually provides an amazing opportunity for us to lean in to growing closer. And that was pretty revelatory to me in that experience, like in real time going through it, like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually feeling closer to this person than I ever have before. So I'm really grateful for that. And I wanted to share that because it's true. And also because it's a bit of a plug for our module on relationship with others. That's going to be coming up in probably about a month. We're going to be talking about things like how to navigate tricky conversations or, you know, highly emotionally charged conversations, how to have those kind of like empathetic connections with other people. So at any rate, it was basically me having this big old toolbox of relationship skills now and being put to the test to use it. And I did. And it worked, thankfully. So that's my grateful. That's a little bit longer than I usually share with my gratitude, but I thought it pretty exciting and something I wanted to share with you ladies. So thanks for listening. Let's go ahead and go to Katie. Would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm in Santa Barbara, California. Is that all I needed to say about myself?
Anything you're grateful for or that went well? Because it's going well.
What went well? I signed up for a half marathon in a couple of months, so I've just started my training on that, and today was a pretty good run. I've been feeling pretty lethargic the past couple of days, so I was kind of nervous, thinking my body was just kind of like done with running. So that was nice. And then over this past weekend, I was down in San Diego. I was co-hosting a bridal shower for a friend, and I was pretty anxious about it just because I know one of the girls that was co-hosting it is a little overbearing at times. So I was doing my best to be around her and, you know, talk to her, trying not to be judgmental or annoyed, but from a place of like understanding and like we're all doing this for, you know, the girl that's getting married. So I think everything went well. So I'm glad it was fun, but it was a lot of hard work. So I'm glad it's in the past.
I bet. Yeah. I bet that in and of itself kind of feels like a half marathon in a way.
Yeah. There was a long buildup.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you for having a good attitude about it and being mindful. It sounds like you're pretty mindful about the social dynamics that were happening.
Yeah.
Awesome. And congrats on signing up for the half marathon. That's exciting.
Thanks.
Yeah. Is that the half marathon in the North Bay in San Francisco that you mentioned? Yeah, girl. That's what's up. Good for you. Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see here. Sarah, would you be willing to do an introduction? Name, where you're located, and something that you're grateful for or something that's going well?
Sure. I'm Sarah And right now I'm in Colorado, but I live in Boston. I'm just out here visiting my mom. And I just had a call with Fawn earlier today, and we were talking about my mom and some conversations that I need to have with her. And incredibly, she opened up the door to have a conversation tonight when we got off the call. So I'm really grateful about that. A little nervous, but I'm really grateful.
So, wow. Wow. Yeah. Big hugs to you. That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah. That's an incredible opportunity. And yeah. So everybody, welcome Sarah. Sarah is new to the tribe, relatively new to the tribe. This is her first call. And yeah, Sarah, welcome to the group calls. Hey. Happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. 801. I think that is you, Sylvia.
Yep. It's me.
Excellent. Go ahead.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Sylvia. I'm currently living on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yes.
Doing a work exchange. Yay. So yeah, doing work exchange. And so that's kind of our little dream of doing like an online business, doing work exchange so we can travel all over the world. So here's our first stop and we love it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Wow. Yeah, that's really exciting, Sylvia. Awesome. Yeah, I hope this is okay to share, but yeah, this has been a big dream and goal of Sylvia and her husband's for some time now, and they made it happen. So for all of you who are like in the process of, well, what do I want to do? Or I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to make it happen. Keep with it. That's why we're all here. And Sylvia's a living testament to that. So Sylvia, I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
Thanks. It's still challenging. I'm still working on, you know, income and our business. So we still have lots of work to do, but yay, we took the first step. So
yes. Yeah. Awesome. Very exciting. Thanks for sharing that. All right. And we've got the 818 who is joining 818. Go ahead and introduce yourself if you feel so called.
Hi, it's Cindy.
Oh, hi, Cindy.
I was able to join. I'm from Hollywood, California, and what I am grateful for is just like you, Fawn, you know, I shared with you that my boyfriend and I, we had a fight last week, and, you know, things escalated, and we both are stubborn, but you know, I took a step back and I realized that I need to put my ego aside and try to communicate with him. And so we did that. And so, you know, since then we've connected and, you know, we understand each other and we communicate better. So I feel like it's gotten stronger since then.
Yay.
So I'm really grateful for that. Yeah.
That's amazing, Cindy. Thanks for sharing that. Yes. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thrilled to hear that. And that you're both showing up to meet each other in the middle and have those conversations is really great. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's really hard to remember that, especially when, like you said, like when both people are emotionally charged. But I learned from my past, you know, past mistakes that, you know, I need to, you know, just set my ego aside and just try harder and compromise.
So that's awesome. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And again, we'll talk about this more in the relationship with others module, but it's an interesting thing to go from like living in our single unit world to becoming a part of a team. And it's almost like a third entity, right? And we have to think not only about ourselves, but we have to think about the relationship and like what we want for the relationship, not just for our own desires. So Awesome. Thanks for that share. I'm so happy to hear that you guys are connecting. That's great. Okay, ladies. So thank you for the introductions. Again, I'm so happy to have you all here. And again, I think we're going to have Kim and Julie joining us a little bit late, which is totally fine. So let's shift into progress reports, updates. So for those of you who are new, don't worry about it. In terms of like, oh, I don't know, progress. I don't have a progress report because I haven't been here before. Totally okay. If you're brand new and you haven't done any of the materials or haven't done any coaching with me or any of that, that's fine. Feel free to just listen in or offer up a question that you might have or maybe why you're here or what your intention is for the call tonight. But if you have been in process in some capacity with the coaching or with the program or both, I would love to hear updates, questions, challenges, insights, breakthroughs, et cetera, et cetera. Anything noteworthy that you would like to share or that you'd like some feedback around, or maybe you would like some empathy or some support from the group. Like, hey, is anybody else struggling with this? Or, you know, I had this breakthrough I want to share with the tribe. I'm just going to go ahead and open up the floor to all of you to share, anything progress report wise. So it can be from the entire course. Most recently we've been talking about watching our thoughts. We've been talking about optimism. We had that call with special guest Brandy and she shared her story, which was phenomenal. And so anything from recent calls or anything that's up for you, feel free to offer it up and put it on the table. And go ahead and raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, just go ahead and unmute yourself if you'd like to share. Anybody? Come on, ladies. I know that some of you have progress. Yay, Sarah. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So I don't have anything prepared, but I can say that since this is about minding your thoughts, and it's okay if y'all laugh at me. This is my first video call that I've been on. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. I just want to call in on my phone so I don't have to sit here and how am I going to stare at my face this whole time? This is super uncomfortable and everything else. And then I was like, wait a second, it's out just watching your thoughts. So I see you all. I'm just going to do it anyway. So that all happened just coming up to this call. So
yes,
that's in the report.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for that. Okay, so who can relate with Sarah? I can relate with Sarah. Okay, yeah, right? Thank you so much. Like, I can totally relate. As a host even, I'm like, like, I just want to call in. But thank you. It's, you know, in any capacity you can join is great. But of course, like face-to-face, I want to create or simulate the closest I can to like a hangout environment. And obviously since we're all over the world, it's not possible right now, but, having the face-to-face, it's just so much more, connection I think possible there and more safety too. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
As it relates to the materials, I was thinking about this earlier. I have a 6-year-old and she's great. But I driving in the car with her recently, we're in Colorado, we're in like not a normal spot. And literally all I hear from the back seat is, oh my gosh, mommy, look at that over there. Look at that over there. What about that over there? Do you think about that? What about this? Did you just see this? And I'm like, oh my God, this is my thoughts, like talking to me. And so that helped to put a lot of what, the beginning part of that. Like listening to the pinging, that was a real life experience, and it just doesn't stop. And my head is like, "Oh my God!"
Right. Thank you. I love, love, love that example. Yep. Okay. So, who can relate with that? I can relate with that. Yeah. Perfect example. So, yeah, we basically have, you know, the same chatter going on internally that toddlers do, or, you know, kids do externally. Yeah, that's a great tie-in and a great thing to recognize too. All right. Anybody else have a share or an update or a question that they would like to offer up? I'm wondering if I want to put an update in here. Just to kind of, I will. To tie it back in with my gratitude, what I was sharing about that difficult conversation that I had. The mindfulness practice that I have, that I'm offering up and sharing with you ladies, this watching our thoughts thing, holy effing S, is it helpful when it comes to conversations with other people? Because I think, you can all agree that when we are feeling a certain kind of way about somebody, or we get into some kind of occultation or confrontation, or we're emotionally charged, or even if the emotions have calmed down, our thoughts, if we just react to every first thought we think, if I reacted to every first thought I thought, gosh, that would have been disastrous. I would have lost somebody I care about very much. So what I did is I came home and I journaled. I journaled everything that was coming through the chatterbox, just like, and just 2.5 hours of it, like just let it out. And then I stood back and I, you know, just kind of went about my day or whatever. And then I came back to it and I was reading through it. And I'm like, this is nuts. Like there's so many like different things going on. But it helped me to sort through like where, like I could see where my ego was coming through. I could see where all these different things were happening. And so that mindfulness and not taking it seriously and not reacting on that first like knee jerk emotion or egoic impulse was really, really helpful in me finding, recentering and finding that place of intention, or it's my intention of love, like coming back to a loving space. So that would be an update as it relates to interpersonal relations and relationships, how watching our thoughts can be really beneficial, because we don't just say whatever comes out of our mouth, or we don't, like, you know, 70% of communication is nonverbal. So, you know, those times when you're having a disagreement with someone and you roll your eyes, or maybe the other person just like kind of does one of those, or just like acts aloof, or like they're not paying attention, and you're like, fucking pay attention to me. well, those things tend to not happen so readily if we're being present and if we're being aware with ourselves and the other person. So that's a little bit of an update, a real life application of watching thoughts. Okay. Any shares, any questions, anything related to materials? Okay. So tonight we are launching into, we're going to be talking about the 3.2 materials, which are newly uploaded. So how many of you have had a chance to look at those? I know it's been 2 days, so no harm, no foul if you have not had a chance yet. I just want to kind of get a little survey here. Okay. So no one's had it. Oh, Sarah has. Okay. Okay. So I'm not going to go over too much of this in as much detail as is in the module. There's a ton there, ladies. Like I said, I've invested not only 15 years of my life into personal development, but specifically the last year or so around consciousness, conscious awareness, gremlins, things like this. So I've distilled all of this down into this portion of the module, hopefully in a really digestible way. But there is a lot there. And I invite and encourage all of you, I'm talking everybody, to, if nothing else, do this module. This can change your life. It will change your life. Some of you who have worked with me one-on-one, we've already been talking about these themes, but I'm going to be kind of sharing things, some new information that I haven't shared with anybody yet. So we get to go over some new stuff tonight as well. But point being, I'm not going to dive into too much detail because the module's there for you to dive into. I don't want to be redundant, and our time is limited tonight, and I want to be mindful of that too. But I will kind of highlight some themes as we go along. Okay, so in module 3.1, we're talking about waking up, right? We're talking about waking up to our consciousness, waking up to watching our thoughts, being present with our thoughts, being present in the present moment, realizing that this stream of chatter that's going through all the time, we can step back from it. We can become the observer. We can become the subject, and our thoughts are the object, right? So that is to say that we are not our thoughts. And as you practice this, or as you've been practicing, hopefully you're noticing, like, holy shit, like, once I'm aware of my thoughts, I realize, like, I'm not my thoughts. It's okay. Whoa. So the reason that I had that as the first portion of this module is because it is, that's the foundational keystone of everything we're going to build on from there. So what we're segueing into tonight is what that means, right? So what do we do? What do we do now that we've been watching our thoughts and we see all these, like, this, like, circus, as I call it, like, just jumping around through town. So tonight we're going to be talking about gremlins, and we're going to be talking about allies. And these are fun words. I like using the term gremlins and allies because it's, you know, when I say it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But also because when you are in your everyday experience and you're having certain kinds of thoughts, you can say, oh, that's a gremlin. Oh, that's a gremlin. Gremlin, gremlin, gremlin. Or ally, 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 ally. And being able to label your thoughts, kind of like what he says in The Untethered Soul about labeling our thinking as, like, thinking. Or Pema Chodron mentions that too. Like, oh, thinking. Well, there's a thought. So again, that helps us to dissociate ourselves from our thoughts. So let's dive in. All right. So the way that the human brain works, and I've talked about this before, so again, I'll be succinct. The way that the human brain works is that, just like any other muscle in our body, the more we use it, the stronger it gets. And the less we use it, the weaker it gets, or it completely atrophies. So practice, or repetition, creates strength in our neural pathways. And that means that the more we think something, or the more we do something, or the more we behave a certain way, the more ingrained it's going to become, the more it's going to become a part of our behavior. And why is this important? Because our thoughts then create our behaviors, and our behaviors create our results. And I'll be getting into that in a minute here because it's super fun. But I really want to use this, it's not even an analogy, it's true that practice equals habit, right? So how many of you have wanted to learn something or have had to learn something, and you had to practice, 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 and then it just became, like, you know, first nature? Has anybody had that experience? Just practice becoming, and then you don't even have to think about it, right? Awesome. So yeah, some examples of that, like driving a car or playing the piano or typing on a keyboard. I was kind of tripping out on that last week. I was, like, typing an email. I'm like, I have no idea how I know how to do this, but it's happening. It's because I took a typing class in high school, but now it's so automatic. So I want you ladies to really, really let that sink in and remember that practice equals habit, habit equals behavior, behavior equals results. Okay. So if your thoughts that you're having are thoughts from the past, which most of our thoughts actually are not new thoughts. Most of our thoughts are, like, things we've thought before. So if most of our thoughts are negative or disempowering or self-sabotaging or judgy or blamey or any of the gremlins that I'm talking about in a minute, then that's going to show up in our habits. And those habits are going to show up in our life as results, right? So, like, why am I always broke? Well, let's look at your thoughts around money. Or why am I totally out of shape? Well, let's look at your thoughts around, you know, around fitness or around eating or around health. So I can't emphasize this enough, but I really hope that it's landing, and it's, you know, it's science. It's like, it's real. So that's why I drill so hard into this, like, your thoughts become reality, because they do. So let me pause here. Let's do a little share time. Does anyone want to give an example of a habit that they have, that a good habit or a bad habit that that they have, and maybe how it got that way, like what they were practicing for that habit to become that way? Give you guys a second. Okay. Examples. Okay. So yeah, Sarah. Awesome. Thank you.
I guess the first thing that comes to mind is exercise. and how I work out at least, I'd say, 6 days a week. And if I don't, I just feel, ugh. But it's kind of ingrained in me. It's what I expect of myself. It's what everyone, it's probably like what people know about me within 5 or 6 minutes of conversation, that it just happens to come out that I ran today or I did something today. And it's just, it's become a part of who I am. So.
Yeah. Great example. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Perfect. So what might the thoughts be in your belief system, that give rise to that habit? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. One of the last things that my dad said to me, before he died, was that your health is the, you have, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And so as we talked about earlier, Fawn, about values, and so health has become like one of my values. And it's, I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but that's kind of where it came from. And I've always, no matter what shape I'm in, what condition I'm in, if I'm injured, with the exception of last week, it was what I do.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Perfect. So health is a value of yours. It's a non-negotiable. It's something that is inbuilt into your prioritization of life. Like what values you live by. Awesome. Yeah. Great example. Thank you for speaking to that. Anybody else have a habit that they have, good or bad, that they would just like to share? It doesn't have to be anything like super profound, but just a habit. Okay. All right. I was thinking of one earlier. I'm trying to remember it now. Okay. So bad habit. I'm going to go ahead and throw this on the table. So a bad habit that I had and I'm improving on is not drinking enough water. So I just don't really drink a lot of water. I haven't historically, it's not something that I do. And one of the beliefs that I had there, or one of the thoughts that I had, was like, oh, it doesn't really matter. Or, oh, I'll drink some water later. Or I'm feeling fine. Why do I need to drink water? Like all these like things would come in, but I know that water being hydrated is like detoxifying. And I know that it's really, it's a really great thing. So the bad habit is that I would, maybe have a glass of water or two per day. But shifting that into a good habit, I'm choosing thoughts and choosing to remember like, okay, feeling hydrated feels awesome, and it cleans my body out and it's really good for all of my organs and makes things happier. And it is important. So now I have like little reminders and I have water bottles everywhere. So there's just a little example. Okay. So hopefully this is just kind of further illustrating, how practice becomes habit, right? Thoughts become habit. So let's go ahead. Does anybody have any questions, first of all, before I move forward? Okay. I think Katie and Cindy dropped off. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about gremlins. So gremlins, I didn't make this word up. Gremlins is a phrase or a term that's used in the, therapy, coaching, self-improvement world. And I love the term because hopefully you guys have all like have some kind of visual reference for a gremlin, but they're kind of fucking nasty looking and they're not the nicest creatures. And that is such a great emblem for the thoughts that we have that are destructive or disempowering. So I'm going to go ahead and just do a quick bird's eye view. Hopefully my computer did not just die. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just run down some examples of gremlins real quick. Oh, yeah, Katie's back. Cool. All right. So gremlins are the thoughts we have, right? They're these thoughts or behaviors that we have that are negative, disempowering, limiting beliefs, fears, shame, guilt, self-sabotage, comparison, jealousy, self-judgment, scarcity. This is all in the module stuff, by the way, too, ladies. So don't worry about jotting it down. I'm running through it kind of quick because it's already in the workbooks. So gremlins are, they're really nasty, right? Like those are the things that run through our systems that are hurting us. They're not helping us. They're working against us. They're bringing us down. And when they are on repeat, when they're on, I think I can hear somebody. If you're not on mute, go ahead and mute yourselves, ladies. Thank you. Sorry, it's a little distracting. So if these are on repeat, if our gremlins have rooted themselves in our psyche or in our consciousness from a young age, or maybe from a traumatic event, or maybe from being bullied, or maybe from failing a class, or maybe from like society, like, you know, I don't look like the girls in the movies, like any of that shit. Those gremlins can root and then they repeat, because we give them attention. We say, oh, this gremlin, like, oh, it feels real. This thought feels real. Especially if we're not in a practice of like vetting our thoughts, then these gremlins slip in and they lodge themselves into our consciousness and we don't even notice it, right? Like, where the heck did I get this gremlin that I'm not worthy if I'm not a size zero, right? Or whatever. well, the media or Gap commercials or whatever. So gremlins can root themselves in very unconscious and insidious ways. And the point here is that it's time for us to expose them. It's time to say, all right, enough is enough. Like, let's get these little jerks out of here. I'm just going to say some examples of gremlins and then we're going to do a share in a second here. So some examples of gremlins, and these are all gremlins that I've had at some point in my life, just to be honest with y'all. So I can't, I'm not worthy. I'm not strong enough, smart enough. I couldn't do that. I can't create a life that I love. I haven't been able to blank in the past, so I never will be able to do it. I failed before, so I'm going to fail again. Why try? Right. These are all gremlins. Would anybody be willing to offer up some of their gremlins right now before we move on? We might do another gremlin share in a moment, but does anyone feel called to share a gremlin? Katie, thank you so much. Yeah.
I've written down a few just because this was something that we started with in our kind of one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. But a few that I have and sometimes still kind of struggle with is just the fact that, you know, me thinking I'm not that special, I'm not that memorable, you know, people aren't going to remember me or want to be friends with me because I'm kind of like a nondescript kind of person. I don't have like the job skills or certifications to get a job that I really want. I'm not outgoing enough. I don't know that I'll ever find like my calling or what I'm passionate about. And recently I've started tying that to like, you know, kind of knowing who I am and feeling, you know, self-assured and self-confident. Mm-hmm. So those are some gremlins that I struggle with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing those so much. I can personally relate to every single one you just mentioned. Like I've certainly, those have been in my garden, you know, at certain points in my life. And sometimes they still pop up and certainly not alone in those. Would anybody else like to share like a relatability with Katie? Does anybody else have similar gremlins or the same gremlins? Sarah, go ahead.
I do. My internet cut out a little bit when Katie, you were talking, but I think you got probably the first four out and already my eyes were starting to water because I felt like I was hearing myself talking to myself. So I can absolutely relate.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for that, Sarah. Yeah. Yeah. Those are very relatable ones. And we're going to, in a moment here, we're going to put that Tyson pieces together, but, thanks for offering that up, Katie. Does anybody else have any gremlins that they want to expose or put on the table? Okay. Oh, I think we are three now. Okay. Awesome. Very intimate setting. All right. So the first thing to say here is that the gremlins are not you. They're not who you are. They are belief systems or BS that has lodged itself into your consciousness or into your psyche or into your persona, but it's not who you are, and it's not your fault. And that's something really, really important for me to drive home, is that it's not your fault that these gremlins are there. For the most part, we are not taught how to be conscientious of our thinking. We're not taught how to be self-loving. We're not taught how to be self-compassionate. We're not, you know, we're raised in this competitive, cutthroat society that really teaches us to beat the shit out of ourselves. And so that's what we do. And then we wake up at any point in, you know, in our adult lives and we're like, whoa, why do I feel like shit? And why am I unhappy? Well, because we have a bunch of gremlins going on in the party. So it's important for me to say, and if any of you have or haven't read Jen Sincero's book, You Are a Badass, there's a chapter, I think it's a chapter or a subchapter of her book where she talks about that. And I invite you to read that, because she does a great job of kind of unpacking why it's not your fault. Like, these are things that we absorb, right? Just as humans, as creatures, we're sponges, especially when we're kiddos. So these gremlins aren't real unless we want them to be, unless we let them stay at the party, and they're not your fault. So moving on here, that means that we can let them go, right? But the first thing we need to do is to identify them and to expose them. And one of the most effective ways to do that is to look at the results that we are getting in our life. One of my coaches said to me, it was a humbling moment for me, but we were having a session and he was explaining to me how he's like, I can tell you right now what anybody's belief systems are. And I'm like, no, what do you mean? No, you can't. And he's like, yeah, look at the results they have in their life. Like, oh, you look at somebody's, like, their attitude, you look at their situation, you look at their financial situation, their relationships, their, you know, anything, and I can tell you their beliefs about themselves. And that, I was like, oh. So when we look at the results we're getting in our life, how is our relationship with ourselves? How are our social relationships? How is our financial situation? How is our health? Sorry, I'm also getting over a cold, so I'm a little plugged up. So anything on the wheel of life that we did in module one, where you're seeing that you are at a five or below on the 1 to 7, like, those are the results. Like, what are the results you're getting? Oh, I'm out of shape, or I cannot seem to find a good guy, or I don't really have any friends right now that I can trust, things like that. So again, no judgment on that. Like, that's just the facts, ma'am, right? That's the here and now. But what we can do, instead of beating the shit out of ourselves about it, is take a look under the hood and say, what are the thoughts and the BS belief systems that are giving rise to this? And that is our direct line to understanding where we need to change and what we need to change. Is this making sense? Okay. All right. So I invite you all to actually, in the workbook, the Gremlins workbook here, there's the Wheel of Life again, and then you can kind of go through and map that out for yourself and see where things are at on your Wheel of Life. Like, how is your rest and relaxation? How's your family relationships? How's your life purpose, stuff like that. And then if it's not where you want it to be, ask yourself, like, what are the beliefs? What are the thoughts that are going on that are keeping that from being in a yes zone for me? So would anybody be willing to, I'm going to kind of circle back and ask the same question again, after having just shared all of that. Would anybody be willing to share this is also a discontentment is a word for this as well. An area of our life where we're not, not where we want to be, not on a 5 to 7 out of 7. Discontentment, growth area. Those are terms I use in the workbook. Would anyone like to share an area of their life where they're not where they're at? And then maybe what some of the belief systems or thoughts might be that are going on underneath that. Sarah, awesome. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm cutting in and out. So if I disappear mid, I'll call in.
Okay. Okay.
So I think, one thing is that I would like to have more friends. I'd like to have a bigger circle of people to talk to and connect with. And I don't. And I think I journaled about it, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. And I feel like what I got down to was the fact that they were all going to leave me anyway. So why bother?
And wow.
I think just high school, we all left, we all went different ways, college. We all left, we all went different ways. I lived internationally in a couple different countries and I was there transient people who all left, we went different ways. And that's just kind of been the ongoing theme. Mm-hmm. And, I was just recently getting close to a woman and she's like, yeah, so we're going to be moving back to Texas in a year. And I'm like, okay, well, of course you are, because everyone I seem to know just leaves. So that's my belief that it's why bother? Because you're going to leave. And so I don't know if I'm just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really good example. Yes, if there's a belief under there that why bother, everyone's going to leave. Let me ask you though, actually, if you'd be willing to extend that out, like elaborate on it, like why bother, everybody's going to leave. And what does that mean to you? Like, what is everybody's going to leave? Like, what is the meaning you're making of that?
I don't know that I feel like I'm just going to be left alone at the end of it. It doesn't.
Okay. So why bother? Everybody's going to leave and I'm going to be left alone.
Yeah, I'm going to be alone anyway. So I'm alone now. So why put in the effort and deal with the loss at the end.
I see. Yeah. So there's also a connection or a story around loss. Like, why bother? It's going to equal loss anyway. Yeah. Thank you so much for unpacking that. So that is a really great example of why it might be difficult to make friends now, right? Or why you might have a resistance or a dubiousness or a skepticism or maybe even a cynicism, anything keeping you from having authentic connection, anything keeping you from getting close to people. If you've got that running under the hood, if that's running, then, that's what's going to show up. So I'm excited to work with you privately and hopefully in the group too next, on one of the upcoming calls around dispelling those beliefs. We're going to be talking about, just to give everyone a little bit of a teaser, we're talking about like excavating the fuckers, the gremlins, like getting those things out the thoughts that are hurting us. And then the next module is on self-love, because we're going to talk about how to like drop into loving ourselves. And that's really important. And then after that, we're going to talk about like brandishing the amazing sword of badassery and how to take these gremlins and destroy them, essentially. And so we're going to be doing that with, we're going to be looking at the 10 cognitive distortions, which are ways in which we are faulty thinking. We can call it out quickly. So like, ultimate thinking or generalization, what you're saying rings of that a little bit, in terms of it seems like all or nothing, like this is always going to happen, so why bother, right? And that's a cognitive distortion. Like that's literally impossible. So we'll be drilling into like how to disprove these, like what's really going on, and then how to disprove them or ask how valid they really are. Like how valid is that limiting belief, like really? And then what might need to be done to alchemize that or to shift it. So, but that's a really great example. Thank you. And I know that's a really sensitive thing to share, so I really appreciate your bringing that up. Can anybody else relate to that, or does anybody else have a share, have a question? Katie, yeah, thank you.
I can definitely relate to, you know, the wanting more friends and feeling like I need more friends, just because, you know, everything I've been reading lately is how, you know, connection is so important to, it's like a key factor in happiness, you know, feeling connected to your community and to other people. And I have, a good handful of friends, and I'm lucky that I've had a lot of the same friends, since like first grade, and we're all still friends, but they don't live here. So it's, you know, I can't count on them to, you know, let's go do this together or whatever. And I have some friends here, but just today I was on Instagram and I saw a picture of Mount Whitney, which I've climbed a couple of times. And I'm like, wow, I almost did it again last year, but those plans fell apart. And I was like, I would so love to do that again. But then I was like, but I cannot think of anybody who would want to do that with me. And that just made me sad. Like, I love, you know, climbing mountains and being adventurous and just like dropping something and going away for the weekend. But like, I don't have anybody right now that would do that with me. And the people that might are, you know, say they don't have the money or the time or have a boyfriend or something like that. So, you know, just realizing the need to get, to find more people that are more like-minded that I can connect with better. Mm-hmm. And then I also like, I've probably had a hard time with it because, you know, finding groups to join is like, you know, the groups I've tried to join have gone and it's been lame, not lame, but like the people that are there, I'm like, I don't have anything in common with you this year. I probably won't do this again. Or just, you know, if there are people like that, I'm like, wow, you're so cool. And you're way too cool to be friends with me, sort of thing. Just that, you know, limiting belief of I'm terrible at talking to strangers. I'm bad at like being, hey, like, let's be friends, because that's an awkward conversation mm-hmm. to have, it seems like. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I can definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that too. Yeah. So it's really standing out to me right now on a social level, at least for the two of you, and I'm guessing anybody listening in on this call in the future or in the present, can relate in some degree to the social aspect of limiting beliefs. Like this just came through, so I'm going to speak it. Actually, I used to have, and I'm always keeping this in check. I used to have this thing where I pedestalized everybody. Like, I mean, anybody I met, I would think they automatically, like, they were way cooler than me. Like, they had it going on without me even knowing them or knowing much about them. I would just like have this like thing that would happen where I would like be in awe of them and think that they were like just really awesome and cool. Well, that was fine for a long time because I was very fortunate in the people that I brought into my life. But after a while, I had a period where I was this whole like belief system that I was totally unaware of like, I am lesser than, or other people are cooler than me. And like, I need to look up to them. Like that got me in some trouble. I started to look up to people and surround myself with some very unhealthy characters for a minute there. And it wasn't until things kind of exploded on me and I started to see people's true colors and I'm like, wait, what? Like, this is who you really are? I've had this propensity to be like, see the best in people. And, you know, that's all part of it. But anyways, I'm saying this because I think on some level we have these limiting beliefs or these stories socially in our, you know, in our own unique ways, but there's a lot of commonality in, the limiting beliefs that are going on under the hood. Like, why do I have really like, why did I have a group of super shady friends? Well, I had a belief system that they were super cool. No, they're not, right? Their values are total crap. And what you were saying now, or just a moment ago, Katie, I think that's what triggered that for me was your share around like, oh, well, even if I did find cool people, they wouldn't want to hang out with me anyway. Or maybe they wouldn't want to do that with me anyway. Again, a limiting belief, right? Maybe, maybe not. And we'll be talking about like the power of maybe too in future calls. But at any rate, thank you for sharing all of this, ladies. And it's really resonating with me right now, the importance of checking our belief systems around social or like around other like relationships and people and what we're telling ourselves. Because it's again, they're just gremlins. They're just thoughts. Like whatever we believe to be true, whatever we're practicing in our heads is what's going to show up in our lives. That's the recipe. It's like, that's the way things work. Sure, there's exceptions in life, right? Like, sure, sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men can be, you know, stepped on. But for the most part, when we set our intentions and when we're clear about our thoughts, like I bring, for example, an ally thought would be, and I'll get into this in a moment, but an ally thought might be, I have amazing friends, or I have trustworthy friends, or I make friends easily, and even if they move away, I am still a better person for having them. You know, so what are the thoughts, the ally thoughts that are empowering, that are aligned with what we want in our relationships and in our social world? Because yes, you're right, Katie. Thank you for speaking to that. Relationships are the most highly correlated indices of health, longevity, happiness, all sorts of positive relationships, that is, are really highly correlated with badass life. Almost as highly so, or maybe as highly so, as happiness, joy, and optimism. So yeah, relationships are a really big deal. We're social creatures. Even if we're introverts, and that's something that I think is misunderstood in our society as well, but it's totally possible to be an introvert and want to be kind of with oneself and to also have social relationships and have good relationships with people. So it's very, very important. And so any weeds, any gremlins that are going on in there that are giving rise to the social, not having close friends or not having friends or having a resistance to it, please, in your worksheets or in your journals, like dump those gremlins out, get them out, because then we can start to run them through the cognitive distortions. We'll run them through Byron Katie's work. We're going to start choosing replacements for those gremlins. And you can start doing that now. You don't have to wait for the things we're going to go through in the next modules. Just simply, not to oversimplify, but it's simple, but it's not always easy. Replace them and start to repeat them and rehearse them again, like neurons that fire together, wire together. So if you have a gremlin and you know that it's in there and you want a different result, replace that gremlin with a thought that's positive or a thought that is constructive and rehearse the shit out of it. Like, listen to that all the time, rehearse it all the time, visualize it, feel it. And that's the start. Like that's one way to go about this. And you can start doing that like now. So, okay. Any questions, any shares, anything, ladies, that you would like to contribute at this moment? Everybody still with me. Awesome. All right. Cindy, I'm guessing that you are in listening in mode. I hope you can still hear us. I see that you are still with us, and I just wanted to speak to that because I haven't heard your voice in a minute. Okay. So yeah. Any questions, ladies, like about this stuff? Is anyone like, what's going on? Okay. All right. So we've got about 20 minutes or so left. I'm going to talk a little bit more about gremlins, and then we're going to talk about allies, which is a lot more fun. So part of the gremlin breakdown here, just to give you guys, I'll give you ladies a lot more tools around this. I'm going to say something actually before I move on. I know that this stuff can feel exhausting. I'm just going to speak the elephant in the room right now. That just came through for me to share. This stuff can be exhausting. Like watching our thoughts all the time and like, is it a gremlin or is it an ally? Like, why am I getting my results? Like this, you know, it's exhausting. I get it. And I want to say that because sometimes it can feel like, why am I doing all of this? Or like, I'm not seeing any changes yet. Or what's the point of this? Or it's overwhelming. Or it's so much easier just to live with my gremlins than deal with all of it. Right. So I just really want to like, let you ladies know that if you're feeling that way, or if you're at any point feeling that way, it's totally normal. Please stick with it. It's worth it. Like, it's just like working out. And I think all three of you who are on the call right now are really into fitness, which is great because there's a relatability point here. Those moments when you're working out or when you're training or when you're pushing for that last like half of the mile or that last 100 feet and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to tap out, but you don't. You know, and you build those muscles and you build that strength and that longevity. That's what we're talking about here. So we're doing the same thing with our minds that we're doing with our bodies. Our minds are not on their own just gonna work for us, especially when they've been injected with so much bullshit for decades, right? Like, we have to be diligent about retraining and reprogramming our minds just like we are with our bodies. There's no way as an ex-soccer player or ex-snowboarder that I could have performed at the high levels that I did as an athlete if I just like sat in the living room, right? And same thing goes with any of you who are athletic right now. Like, Katie, I'm guessing you probably wouldn't be able to run that half marathon with such a high degree of success if you were playing video games and eating Cheetos all day. So same thing goes with our minds. So I just really, that just occurred to me to share that, yes, it's work. Yes, it's heavy lifting. Yes, it's worth it. It's fucking worth it. And it starts paying off really quickly the more you practice it, just like anything else. So it's just important for me to say. Is that helpful? Like, does anyone relate to anything or want to chime in on that? Want to check in. Okay. Sarah, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so it relates because it came together for me yesterday when I was running and I didn't have really any thoughts through my head, I don't think, while I was running. I was just listening to my breath and it was super great. And I was running hills and I live in Boston and it's flat. and then all of a sudden my mind goes, okay, I'm only running to 6 miles and then I'm stopping. And I was like, whoa, 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 that's just a thought. And then it was like, no, I'm stopping at the top of the hill. I don't care if it's 6 miles or not. I'm stopping at the top of the hill. You're going to stop. Your legs hurt. Your arms hurt. You've been quiet enough, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden I got to the top of the hill and stupid Matt, my run goes, you've reached 6 miles. And before I could do a thing, my legs stopped. And I was like, wow. This is it. This is the gremlin like coming up and absolutely taking over. So anyway, that was my little experience with it yesterday, but I thought it tied in well to what you're saying now about how we're all athletes and it's like exercising and trying to exercise your mind and it'll get stronger.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I love that. Thanks for that share. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so keeping with it. Cindy, I see that you have a hand up as well. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Yep.
Okay, perfect. I'm at home, so the reception's kind of spotty.
Okay.
I guess I can relate because, you know, for a long time, like when I would have like these negative thoughts, I would kind of made an excuse saying that, well, I'm just being real, you know, this is who I am, you know, like this is being realistic. Nobody's positive all the time. But over time, it does affect your mood and it does affect, you know, your energy level and the way you do things. So from my past, you know, I've learned that, you know, like those gremlins in your head is like, they're not, you know, it's not really accurate. I mean, sometimes it can be an indicator of, you know, how you're feeling and, you know, about a certain situation, but it can become habitual. And I've learned that, you know, you need to steer away from that. And it does take a lot of effort and work to try to like, not think negative.
So that, yeah, so thanks for sharing that.
That's just something I relate to.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. When you say it takes a lot of work to not think negative, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, because sometimes I don't realize it, you know, it just becomes automatic, you know. For example, like just reacting to something and you get really angry or upset and then, you know, like, you know, you realize it's something so small, you know, later on in hindsight. And, you know, I kind of wish like, oh, like I didn't react so poorly to that or, you know, be so dramatic or whatever. I could like, you know, save my energy, and not react so poorly.
Yeah. Great example. Thanks for, thanks for sharing that. And I think what you said there, we can probably all relate to, which is like, sometimes we don't catch ourselves. Or sometimes it's just like, we don't notice it. Right. And that's, maybe that's what you're saying here around it being like the hard part is like catching it. Like, how do I remember to catch it? Something like that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that share. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and put yourself on mute. Exactly. So that's why the practice component of this is so important. Perfect example, Cindy. So the more we practice being aware of our thoughts, the more we're aware of our thoughts, and the more we're aware of our thoughts, the more we can catch the gremlins. And then the more we catch our gremlins, the more we can say, oh, that's a gremlin. Get out of here. Like, I'm going to bring in my ally. So that's a good segue into talking about allies. So any questions about gremlins or you know what? That's a lie, ladies. Okay. Teaser. We're going to move on to allies in just a second, but I wanted to speak to a couple things I mentioned in the Gremlins workbook. So in the workbook, I talked about three detrimental identities: illness, victim, and poverty. This is very important. These are great ways to catch ourselves being in gremlin mode. So if we are identifying with our illness or the less than ideal situation, let's say, if we find ourselves being like, oh, like, yeah, I can't believe I'm sick still. Like, oh my gosh, like, we find ourselves like whining or being like, woe is me. That's a combination of like playing the victim and also fixating on a very unproductive focus point energetically, like focusing on, it's just not empowering. It's a very disempowering way to be thinking. So focusing on illness, identifying with illness, playing the victim, which we are going to drill super hard into in module 5, is victim, victim versus accountable, or victim versus agency. So victim, detrimental identity, poverty, also detrimental. So poverty doesn't necessarily mean or have to mean financial. Poverty can also mean, like scarcity thinking or scarcity about self, scarcity about world, scarcity about anything. Like there's not enough. I'm not enough. Yeah, things like that. So go ahead and read through that section of the workbook. Just being aware of the detrimental identities it's so helpful. Cause like if we're feeling shitty or if we're getting a bad result, we're getting a result in our life that we don't like, we can know which of the detrimental identities might be going on here, and just naming them, being aware of them is helpful because we're like, oh, that's not me. That's just a thought I'm having or belief system that I need to upgrade. So there's that. And then I also in this workbook talk about false benefits, which I had a lot of fun writing about this actually. I'm laughing because I came up with this quote that I put in the workbook that I'm super proud of. So go ahead and take a look at that. So false benefits are gremlins. Those are wolves in sheep's clothing. This isn't the quote, by the way. False benefits are the trade-offs we get. It's almost like a temporary high for a long-term low. So an example that I use in the workbook is, you know, I have this yoga practice or this commitment to doing yoga, even though I have a lot of resistance around it. So a thought that might go through my head is, oh, I'm just not going to do yoga today because that'll give me so much more time to work on my, you know, my client, whatever, my program. So I'm just not going to do yoga. So my mind is like, ooh, like it's, yes, that will give me more time to work on my coaching materials. Which really means that I'm letting myself off the hook and I don't have to like physically exert myself, which is the lazy part of me. Like that's the false benefit that I'm getting out of it. So immediately I can be like, oh, bullshit. Like I definitely have time to do 10 minutes of yoga today or 4 minutes of yoga or 3 minutes of yoga, right? Whatever. So the false benefit being I get to remain lazy, but the false benefit is totally counterproductive to the long-term real benefit of being flexible, being in shape, being consistent with my routines, showing up when I say I'm going to show up for myself, things like that. So false benefits are really sneaky. Most of our bad habits have false benefits attached to them. So go ahead and read through that section of the workbook too. That's another way that gremlins show up because the gremlin, I call it the gremlin's partner in crime, right? So if the gremlin is whispering like, oh, like, you know, everyone's going to abandon you or nobody thinks you're interesting, then the false benefit might be, well, okay, I'm going to stay home and feel sorry for myself or stay home and feel justified in my loneliness or what have you. That's a false benefit because what you really want is friends, right? What we really want is great relationships. The real benefits of getting out of our comfort zone and getting out and meeting people would be, far outweigh those false benefits. So something to be aware of, like catching yourself, like, like what false benefits might be going on here. Any questions about that? And then now I promise we're moving on to ally. Thanks for your patience, ladies. Let's see. Cindy, do you have a hand up or is that from earlier? I think that might be from earlier. Okay. All right. So let's shift into allies. So much as we've been talking about here, allies are also belief systems. They're also thoughts. They are not necessarily who we are, but they work for us, right? They are positive contributions to our experience. So the whole point here in all of this is that we get to choose. We get to choose who's on our team. Do we want the gremlins? Do we want the allies? Do we want to get kick-ass, hell yes, life results? Or do we want to get mediocre, feel like crap results? Obviously, I'm overgeneralizing here, but I'm having fun with it. So allies are the belief systems, identities. Let me pull that up so that I can be as thorough as I want to be here. Sorry, ladies, just 1 second. Okay, here we go. So allies are positive, constructive thoughts and behaviors. They're working for us, right? They're our squad. They're our team. So self-love, empowering identities, gratitude, optimism, expansive thinking, forgiveness, joy, mindfulness, purpose, contribution. So there's a whole list there. This is all in the workbook once again. So allies, we want allies, right? We want, if any of you have ever been on a team, led a team, tried to build something with a team, tried to create anything with a group of people, I think you will agree that having positive, constructive people on the team is great. And having gremlins on the team sucks. And I think we've probably all experienced in some capacity gremlins being on the team. They're a pain in the ass. So, so we want allies, right? So if we're going to be thinking thoughts all day, right? If we're going to be creating results out of our thinking and out of our belief systems, let's have them be our allies. Let's have them be positive. Let's have them be constructive. So examples of ally thinking, I can, I'm worthy, I can do anything I put my mind to. I know I'm not perfect and that's okay. I'm committed to doing my best. I haven't been able to blank in the past, but I'm going to take what I've learned and try again differently this time. I hope you get the gist here. So ally thinking is so much more empowering and so much more realistic than gremlin thinking. So we'll do a little share around allies in a moment here. So I kind of did the same thing with the allies workbook. So taking a look at your wheel of life, what is working for you? Like, what are you stoked about in your life? Like, you know, Sarah, it sounds like your health, like you have a really great workout relationship with health and with working out. And so I'm guessing that that might be higher on your wheel of life. And as we talked about before, like it's because you have a value for health. Like health is very important to you and fitness is important. So it's important not only to expose our gremlins, but it's also important to know who's working for us, right? Like who are the allies that are working for us so we can continue to strengthen those allies and continue to feed them or water them or, you know, house them. So go ahead and go through the workbook too. And this feels really good. Like I love taking inventory of my allies, acknowledging my allies. Like, oh yeah, like I love meeting new people in totally new places. And what are the beliefs I have behind that? Oh, well, So I love that part of myself. I love that that's something that works for me. And I want to strengthen the belief systems I have that are supporting that. Is this making sense? Does anyone have any questions about allies? Okay. So would anyone like to offer up a result they're getting in their life or that's like a yes or in a good place, a good zone on the wheel of life? That and then what the allies might be that are contributing to it. Sarah, you had shared one earlier about fitness, but does anybody else have a share? It's something that's going well, even if it's like I brush my teeth in the morning. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully this is all connecting. And then I go into, and I unpack the 9 success identities, which, grateful, abundant, responsible, engaged, forgiving, contributing, purposeful, constructive, self-loving. So I invite you to dive into those success identities. Also a really great thing to think in, check in around when you are having some gremlin activity. Sorry, it's funny to me. Some gremlin activity going on in the neighborhood. Check in with, once you identify that the gremlin is there, ask yourself, how might I be able to replace this with one of the success identities, right? So if my gremlin is, oh, working out doesn't matter, how can I, oh, well, maybe what if I replace that with like working out feels great. And it's working out is an extension of loving myself. Working out is a responsible way to live, right? So shifting the disempowering or the detrimental identities and and replacing them with the success identities. And by success, by the way, you guys, like, success is such a freaking loaded word. I'm not talking about like gold medals and millions of dollars and mansions and Ferraris and stuff. Like, I'm talking about success insofar as it applies to living a really empowered, healthy life and having a good relationship with ourselves and like making what we want happen in our lives. So that's what the word success means here. I was hesitant to put it in, but there it is. So, empowering identities would be a good, another one. So, all right. Any questions around the importance of allies, what allies are, how to invite them to the team, etc.? Okay. Something that just connected for me, and I'm just thinking out loud right now. Along the lines of like, how do I invite an ally to the team when like I just kicked the gremlin out? So, or I'm aware of the gremlin, how do I replace it with an ally? I mentioned before, like repetition and rehearsal, very important, but that just connected that that's kind of like hanging out or like creating new friends or dating somebody. Like you kind of hang out with them and then you're like, oh yeah, I really like you. And then you like want to be around them all the time, right? Or do really cool things with them. And you want to share a lot of life with them. So think about these like allies or these new ways of thinking, these affirmations as like that repetition is like you're building a relationship with these really positive ways of thinking. And the more you have them around, the more they're going to positively impact your life and contribute to your life. So I don't know, might be a little bit of a stretch of an analogy, but just popped into my mind. Okay, so holy moly, for the first time, I am not going over 10 o'clock in my educational portion. ladies, do you any questions at all or any shares, anything at all? And then we'll go ahead and shift gears into a takeaway. No questions. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead. I can't believe we're on time right now. This is blowing my mind. let's go ahead and do takeaways. So let's do two takeaways per person. One being like an insight or a thought or something that stood out from what was shared in terms of the themes and concepts, and the other takeaway being something that somebody else said that resonated. So yeah, who would like to start? Sarah, thank you so much.
Sure. So, okay. I really appreciated what Katie was saying. I only heard the first three, but when you were sharing the voices in your head and how I heard them in my head as well. And I just wanted to say thank you, Vaughn, for this. Because as much as you talk about it, as much as you read, like you're not alone or other people have these thoughts, to actually like see Katie as she's saying these things and hear them in my head. It was great because it made me realize like I really am not alone. I share these same feelings and thoughts with Katie and thousands of other people. So that's one of my takeaways. So thank you, Katie, for that. And then I think I have to come back to my second takeaway, if that's okay. That one is
absolutely
the first one came to mind. And then you said, and then something somebody else said. And so I need a minute.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Katie, would you like to share a takeaway?
Sure. So the thing that Sarah said that resonated with me was just, you know, needing more friends and kind of the limiting beliefs around, you know, not going out and getting them and, you know, feeling like you can't find them or they're just going to leave you or having, you know, some thought that's keeping you from going out and finding those people that you can connect with. it's a hard thing. And like, yeah, one of the things that's great about these calls is, you know, hearing other people say out loud what you're thinking. And it's just kind of makes you feel better that you're not the only one going through that sort of thing. And then as far as like the allies and the gremlins, I've been reading this Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yay, awesome.
I really like it. And one of the allied thoughts that I really like is just like that I can handle it. Like whatever happens, whatever bad happens, like I can handle it. So that's been something that I've been repeating to myself a lot. And I realized I haven't been, you know, practicing as much, like with my I am statements and, that sort of thing as much as I should be, but that's something that I like that I'm connecting with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. Yeah. I can handle it. Yes. Like that, what a game changer. Right. Love it. Thanks for sharing that. We're going to be talking about that a lot in the, module 5 as well. Feel the Fear is going to be on the reading list for that module, but thanks for offering that up. Yeah, that was really great. Cindy, I see that you just, hopped back on. Would you like to do a takeaway, Cindy? Anything that resonated with you from what we've talked about or what was shared? And then, also anything that resonated with you from what somebody else had said, if you can hear me.
sorry, I've been like in and out of the meetings because I keep dropping my phone calls. But
it's okay.
I feel the same way that, you know, we're all going through the same thing, that we all have our gremlins. And I too just finished that book, Feel the Fear, and that was a great book and gave me a lot of perspective on like changing pain to power. So it's really helped me with my relationships with my boyfriend, my friends, people who, you know, I've had falling out with before. And then, you know, now I come from a place of like forgiveness and openness. So, and I feel like that takes a lot of, you know, work, and, it doesn't come easily. So, that's my takeaway from it.
Awesome. Thanks for that share. Yeah. Beautiful. All right. Sarah, did you want to tack anything onto what you had initially shared?
Sure. I think it was just reassuring to hear that trying to like retrain your brain is hard, but that it's worth it. And yeah, it's hard and it's worth it. So I just appreciated hearing that. Because it is hard. Yeah.
Right? Yep, it's heavy lifting sometimes. Yep. Yeah, awesome. Thanks for that. Okay, so I'll do a quick takeaway and then we'll wrap out. So many things. I think right now what's coming up is what Sarah and Katie, what you're sharing around the social piece, the limiting beliefs, so the gremlins around like the social, the social aspects of your lives, that really brought up that whole pedestalizing people thing for me. And I hadn't thought about that in a minute. so thanks for sharing that. And I think that your vulnerability in like naming it and saying like, oh yeah, these are the beliefs I have, or these, you know, like it's so brave. So thank you so much for that. So I guess that's kind of like what you guys said that resonated with me, and also like a conceptual takeaway. But I think of all of this material, honestly, like my takeaway from it is that it's super liberating, and it's also like kind of intense, but it's super liberating that we get to choose. And once we wake up and we realize that we can choose, like anything is possible, like anything. So that's always like every time I teach this or talk about it or coach about it or whatever, read about it, which I devour shit all the time. You guys know that I read like 7 books a week, but it never ceases to amaze me that when I put it into practice, it really works. So that, that's kind of a takeaway too, just in teaching it tonight or talking about it tonight, set in again for me, the, I don't know, the excitement and the liberation of it all. So anyhow, thank you all so much for being here. The calls recently have been really intimate, which is fine. It's really great. And I want you all to know that I immensely, immensely appreciate you being here. It adds so much to the group, each and every one of you. So thank you. And I look forward to seeing you next time. And the materials are up on the module 3 page. So go ahead and dive into the materials. Let me know if you have any questions. There's a lot there. Take your time, dig in. It will change your life. So I will leave you on that. All right. Good night, ladies. Thanks for staying a few minutes over. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye, everybody.